Morning.
Great to be here on another Lord's Day. Enjoyed very much the singing of the hymns and earlier remembering the Lord until he comes. And also we can rejoice as we have been with our brother Robin for the good news there. I was mentioning to him that I don't think a Tuesday night has gone by since he shared with us his health issue that we haven't prayed for him. And, you know, we've been reminded when the early church began, was formed, that there are four reasons for the saints to gather, at least four. In Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And the Bible tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I know there are legitimate reasons why we're not all out at the meetings, but we miss the blessing. As an example of our brother having prayed for him for so long, and other times that we can rejoice together. We've been praying for our brother Weston, and the Lord graciously answered his need for employment. And so there's blessing to be had when we gather together whenever possible. So our brother has already prayed, so we'll get right into the message for today. Things that I've been thinking about have to do with a biblical perspective on anxiety and fear and worry. There are lots of reasons why people have worries and anxieties and fears. Could be conflict at work, marital problems, family problems, children, parental problems, financial burdens, maybe a death, a recent death, maybe job loss, might have gotten in an accident, whatever the case might be. These are some of the reasons, causes of why we might become anxious and fearful and worrisome. And what we need to be careful about is that these things can lead to stress, and stress we know can lead to sickness and all kinds of things like panic attacks and things like that. And next thing you know, we're on prescription drugs and all kinds of things. So I thought it'd be worthwhile for us to look at some scriptures to help us deal with these issues that we are so commonplace in real life. Those of you who know me know I'm not much of a speaker, but we let the Word of God speak for itself. And so I'm big on reading scripture and let the Word of God affect us the way it needs to be affected. So we're going to spend the first several minutes reading some scriptures, a few passages. Some are lengthy, but yet we know there's benefit to our souls when we do so. The first one is in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And in the last maybe several minutes of the meeting, I'd like to share a few gospel verses as well to warm our hearts. And we never know among us if everyone is truly belongs to the Lord. So time permitting, we'll get to that later. But Mark chapter 4, Verse 35, we'll break in there. "And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Next we'll read in Psalms. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And then lastly, the portion we'll read together is Daniel chapter 3. Daniel's in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. It's after Ezekiel. It's a lengthy chapter, but we're going to break in at verse 10 and read from there to the end of the chapter. Daniel 3, verse 10. "Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery and dulcimer and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was ever heated before. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every nation, people, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And may God bless the public reading of his precious word. I love that expression in Mark chapter 4. The Lord says, Let us pass over unto the other side. Notice the word us. He was with them. In those words, there was a great storm. And then further, we read subsequently a great calm. The Lord said, Peace, peace, be still. And that reminds us when the psalmist said in 46 verse 10, Peace, I'm sorry, be still and know that I am God. During this journey we have here for a few short years, however many they may be, this journey through life, we need to constantly remember as believers that The Lord is with us, even until we reach the other side. Do you think that they didn't get to the other side? The Lord was with them. It was a guarantee that they were going to get to the other side. He was going to bring them there. And even through death, the psalmist in verse 20 in Psalm 23, even going through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is sure to bring us to the other side, to heaven. The scripture was read this morning about how the Lord delivered us through fear of death, those who had a fear of death. We don't have a fear of death, but maybe we might wonder about the transition of going, when we take our last breath, to being in his presence. But we have the assurance that he's with us to make sure we get there. We're not alone. He's with us always. What we read in Daniel chapter 3, those three faithful men, absolutely astounding. The men that brought the three men to put them into the furnace of fire were basically consumed by the heat. And yet these three men were, because of their relationship with God, were not consumed. They, even the hairs of their head were not singed. And so the lesson is that whatever the trial or testing, whatever it might be that we're going through, whatever the issues of life that we're dealing with, and we all deal with them in one form or another, just to remember, to embrace, to lay hold of the fact that we're not in it alone, that the Lord is in it with us. Remember the words of the Lord to Joshua. He said, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." In Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." In Hebrews 13, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," the Lord says. How often are we reminded about Matthew chapter 6, about that phrase, "Be not anxious"? That occurs several times in that passage, from verse 25 to 34 I'm referring to. And then he ends up towards the end, he says, "Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear, and so on. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." In Philippians, "Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Humble yourselves, we read in 1 Peter 5, "therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." We need to remember that the Lord is with us. How often we see this scripture every Sunday or every time we're in this building. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." And our brother rightly reminded us that he is here with us. Just as he was with the nation of Israel. Remember the pillar of fire when they were going through the desert at night, and the cloud that followed them during the day to protect them. The Lord was always with them, as he is with us. We read in Hebrews 2 this morning. It was read to us in Hebrews 2. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. He is said in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? I think the key for us to overcoming these fears and anxieties and worries that we encounter in our life individually, I know it's obvious, but I'll say it anyway, the key is we need faith. Faith is what helps us overcome. Remember the Lord said, O ye of little faith. It was evident. They forgot for a moment who was with them. Three times we're told in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. And the just, of course, or the righteous, a man who is just is one who is right with God. And so, if we are right with God, we need to show that by living. That'll be evident, because the just shall live by faith. Another place in 2 Corinthians 5, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And of course, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's why it's so essential for each of us to spend time in the word every day. Doesn't matter if it's 2 minutes or 20 minutes, we should make an effort to start our day at least with a scripture or a chapter or two, because it will remind us of who we are and who we are linked with, and that the presence of the Lord is with us. And now for the remaining few minutes we have, I'll say this too. This verse occurred to me while we were singing one of the hymns. In Psalm 91, in the very beginning, the psalmist says, he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's where we need to be. And so with the remaining few minutes, let's look and share the gospel a little bit. We'll read a portion together in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 30 and 8 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture, because we see a man here who's nameless, hopeless, helpless, and he's friendless. It's a picture of every single one of us. And here he was, desperately trying to be healed. He had this infirmity for 38 and 8 years. You know, each of us has an infirmity. We're born with it, the infirmity of sin. Some have had it for just a few years. Some have had it for 15, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 80 years, whatever age we are. That's how long we've had that infirmity. But notice, this man, he was willing to be healed. And the Lord asked him, Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made well? And he basically said, Yes, I do. But every time I try, someone comes in before me. He gets in the pool before me. This sin that we're born with comes from the heart. It's in the heart. And by heart, I mean our being, not the physical heart that pumps blood around the body. And we're told in Jeremiah 17 that the heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. Who can know it? The things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, the Lord said in Matthew 15, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. You might say, well, I'm not a murderer. I didn't steal anything. I'm not a thief. How about this? Ever have an evil thought? It's the first thing on the list here, evil thoughts. Do you ever wish someone were dead? I wish so-and-so were dead. I hate him. I hate her. It's an evil thought. Want to get back at somebody who hurt you or harmed you in some way? The heart is incurable because of sin. But the great news is the Lord can cure it. He is the cure. And so today, the Lord may be asking the question of you, Wilt thou be made well? Wilt thou be made whole? Will you let him take away your sin? Will you trust him to save you from the wrath of God to come? He died on the cross and paid the penalty of our sins, yours and mine. God's wrath was poured out on him rather than us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Like the man in John 5, faith is required and a willing heart. And he had that for sure. And so I hope you'll yield to his calling today. There will come a time, the Bible says, when the Lord will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. We read that in 2 Thessalonians, verse 1. You think that the fiery furnace, seven times hotter than ever, was hot? Wait till the lake of fire. What can compare to that? That's the ultimate end of those who obey not the gospel. We've done our part. We did all the sinning. The Lord did all the saving. He did his part at Calvary. We need to do ours, and it's simply just to believe. Believe, as we read over here on this wall. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's his desire for all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, we're told. Call ye upon him while he is near. If he's not your Lord and Savior, make him yours today. Thank you for listening, and let's close with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee so much that we're able to spend time together to read and to take in thy word. Thou knowest our needs, each and every one of us bowed before thee right at this moment, in this place. The cares and the issues of this world we're dealing with, help us to lean on thee. Help us to embrace thy presence with us, that we're not going through these things alone, but thou art with us to strengthen us, to help us, and that thou wouldst be glorified in it all. So help us not to worry and to be anxious, to be fearful in any way, but to trust in thee. We need to remember thou hast saved us, and certainly thou canst help us through this life until we reach the other side. We pray for every person in this room that they have trusted in thy Son as their Lord and Savior, and if not, may they do so today. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.